Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District, Steve Pierce. Steve, another exciting week in New Mexico. How are things going?
A lot of things going on today, and not all of them positive. So as you listen to today's program, stay tuned to the end. We're going to be talking about more attacks from the governor on our gun rights. We'll be also mentioning about the economy and how New Mexico's unemployment continues to get worse. We have a segment on energy. And of course, Joe Biden and even our governor have flown in jets over to the environmental conference saying we need to get rid of fossil fuels. But they're using fossil fuels to fly to the conference. So the hypocrisy never ends. But stay tuned. It's a great program today.
A couple of weeks ago, I joked about when they make electric tanks for us to use in war, then I'll consider getting an electric car. Well, believe it or not, our government has actually asked for electric tanks. How in the world would you charge an electric tank out in the middle of, say, Iran or even in Eastern Europe? Where do you plug that in when the battery gets low?
How about between Albuquerque and Vaughan?
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to be able to get the thing all the way down to Vaughan, and you're going to need a very long extension cord. But that's the lunacy that we're involved in right now because Democrats are in charge. Again, folks, if you're as tired of the craziness as I am, you're going to have to vote Republican because it looks like that every Democrat in office is going to be held to the same ridiculous standard. They have to just continue to do things that are beyond belief. But it's not beyond belief because the governor has already done it several times, but she extended again her constitutional violation of the Second Amendment. And this time she didn't even bother showing up herself. She sent the lieutenant governor in her place so she wouldn't have to face the heat. But I will tell you, Democrats, Republicans, and independents alike are furious over her holding law-abiding citizens accountable and doing nothing about the crime. The Pinyon Post, John Block, continues to do a great job in focusing on these issues, and he's got good commentary on that today. I would suggest that you might want to subscribe to his blog and just read his comments because he's very good on the issues and he's also very quick on the issues. So I think the last thing about that particular subject of the governor and her extension of the article is that RPNM is once again the only one who is fighting in court for your rights, whether you're a Democrat that owns guns or whether you're a Republican that owns guns. We're fighting for everybody. And then as a follow-up, we've already said it on the program before, but articles of impeachment toward the governor over her constitutional violations have already been drawn up, and that's something that will come up in this coming session.
And with the imbalance of Republicans to Democrats, I wonder how many Democrats would vote for that, because they're upset too. When you talk to them as individuals, not as a governing body, they're carrying their guns. They're not following the order because they don't feel safe in Albuquerque anymore.
Yes, they will express that privately, but when it comes to a vote, they're never going to vote for impeachment. But what we will have is their vote to not impeach her, and that's going to be fuel enough to defeat some of the Democrats at the ballot box. Again, this is where it all takes place. The vote is everything. If you can't vote for Republicans, then you're going to have to accept that the Democrat is going to take away first your guns, then they'll take away to worship the way you please, then they're going to take away your savings accounts, because this is everything that the governor has said that she's got the right to take and the right to do, all in the name of public health orders. Our lawsuit is taking on that issue of whether or not she can use public health orders to do all of these things. But she has said in public interviews that that's her intention. And so hold on to your savings account if you continue to vote for Democrats.
So if I'm hosting a political forum and I have a state senator, a state representative on who voted not to impeach the governor for violating our constitutional rights, they're going to have to answer why.
That's exactly the purpose of the legislation. I don't think that anybody carrying that bill actually thinks that Democrats will vote to hold the governor accountable. But what it will do is put the representatives and senators on the record to where the voters will hold them accountable. And that's the way representative government works. It works magnificently, and I think that we're going to see that. Folks, one of the friends that I've developed in the political arena, and I don't use that word lightly, is Dan Lewis. He ran for city council in Albuquerque, won that position, has been a tireless fighter for conservative principles there. He is leading the effort to take on the mayor of Albuquerque on this whole Albuquerque-Bernalillo County Air Quality Control Board, and he's leading the effort among the city council to override the mayor. So listen as Dan Lewis talks about his struggles just to keep businesses in Albuquerque and to fight this unelected board that the mayor has.
With me on the telephone is our city councilor in Albuquerque, Dan Lewis. Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Well, tell us about what happened. The concern about air quality in Albuquerque, I think we all want clean air. Talk about what the mayor tried to do and what you and the city council did.
Well, we want clean air, but we have an air quality board that's appointed by the Bernalillo County Commission and the mayor, and it's an extreme board. I mean, it's been developed over the years. You got 7 members that are all, I call them professional job killers. I mean, they literally make their money as environmentalists, and they have held a hearing, and it is a bill with regulations that would just kill businesses in our state, certainly in Bernalillo County and the city. I mean, the stringent regulations on air quality are just unprecedented. So members of Kirtland Air Force Base, Sandia Lab, unprecedented. We had actual member of Kirtland Air Force Base that was in uniform that came to our council meeting last night speaking against this bill. So the harm that it would cause to businesses in our city, the largest employer in our state, Sandia National Labs, just outrageous, the type of regulation. And so I put 2 bills together that reconstituted this board, as well as stated that they could not hear this ruling, which we believe is illegal for them to actually hear this ruling anyways. So those were passed. They were passed on a 5-4 vote. The mayor vetoed those bills, and then we overrode the mayor's veto on both of those bills. And so essentially it shuts down the ability for this air quality board to be able to enact these regulations and also reconstitutes this board to put some more professionals on this board, people that are actually from the industry, people that are not just environmental job killers.
I'm talking with Dan Lewis, city councilor in Albuquerque. Dan, thanks for watching our back.
Thank you.
Senator Heinrich of New Mexico is putting together another bill that will violate your Second Amendment rights. Steve Pierce and I will talk about that next on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico as I continue my conversation with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, tell us about Senator Heinrich's new bill.
Senator Heinrich has joined with another senator to introduce the Go Safe Act, and the NRA came out and nationally blasted that this week. So I would draw your attention to those NRA comments. But basically, they say this is the most extreme gun control bill that has come out any time in the 21st century. And of course, we're doing things now that would not have been even considered 5 and 6 years ago. In fact, both of the authors of this bill, including Senator Heinrich, voted against previous versions of the federal assault weapons bans. And so the fact that they're flip-flopping here, again, tells you that they feel empowered. They feel like they can do anything and still get reelected. That's the reason I'm telling people, if you want things to change, you're simply going to have to vote Republican, because the Democrats take your vote for granted, and they will get more extreme on all of our rights if we don't vote them out of office. All it takes will be 1 or 2 people being voted out, and it sends a chill down everyone's spine. They get arrogant then with their power. So a lot happening on guns. So I was called by KOAT. They quoted from me, and we'll let you hear KOAT as they talk about my response to Senator Heinrich's bill.
In D.C., lawmakers are taking aim at gun regulation again.
But senators hope it speaks to gun owners in a different way. Reporter Julian Pottas explains. After the mass shooting that happened in Lewiston, Maine this October, lawmakers are growing impatient and want to see change. Senator Martin Heimrich says there have been more mass shootings than days in 2023.
Far too many Americans and communities from Lewiston, Maine to Farmington, New Mexico have lost loved ones in mass shootings.
Senator Heinrich says enough is enough and wants to do something about gun violence in the country. You know, the lawmakers have introduced the Go Safe Act, which if passed would regulate the sale, transfer, and manufacture of gas-operated semi-automatic weapons. The gas operation is where a gun uses the gas pressure from the exploding gunpowder to eject the empty case, allowing the next round to move into firing position.
These gas-operated mechanisms are what allow civilian mass shooters to walk into public spaces, destroy human life at a rapid pace, and even outgun law enforcement.
This bill also limits most guns to 10 rounds or less, as well as the modifications it could have. Leaders at the state level have some questions about this bill.
Criminals are not going to obey any of this, and you won't be able to reload your firearm with more rounds to defend yourself quickly.
State Representative Stephanie Lord says this law goes against gun owners rather than punishing criminals with illicit weapons.
And instead of us being tougher on them, on the Democrat side, they seem to keep pushing to be softer on crime and letting them out on the streets.
The bill states it would protect Americans' constitutional right to own a gun based on the gun and its use for self-defense, hunting, or sports purposes. Republican Party of New Mexico Chairman Steve Pierce telling KOAT, until Senator Heinrich and other Democrats shift their focus to cracking down on the out-of-control crime they have enabled, Band-Aids like the Go Safe Act will have no effect except to continue the assault on the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding Americans. Heinrich poses the question, when will change be done?
I think we've really painted a bright line between weapons of war and traditional firearms.
Heinrich says the Go Safe Act is being discussed with Republicans to gauge their support for a measure like this. In the studio, Julian Paras, KOAT Action 7 News.
And then finally, a lot of action on the Second Amendment. But the Albuquerque Journal editorial came out with another strong statement saying that until the government enforces the laws on the books, then it doesn't matter which new laws they pass. And so they're continuing to be more vocal on the crime issue every week. And I salute them for that because it's the media's responsibility to point out to the voters just how badly one party is governing or the other party is governing. And so we trust them to do that. And they've been doing a great job. And KOAT has been very active and talking straight about the issues. Those are good things. That's really refreshing to hear the media get after this governor and her illegal stances.
We keep saying this, but every time one of these shooters goes off somewhere, they've already broken lots of laws. So I don't see how passing any more is going to make any difference, and like you said, until they start enforcing the ones we have.
Yeah, all they will do is use the laws against law-abiding citizens. They're never going to take guns away from, say, gang members. In Chicago, that would be roundly supported, but that would go against the Democrat philosophy of catering to the criminals. And so you just have to say that the laws would only be used to take on the rightful owners of guns. This bill that Heinrich put out basically is so poorly written that it looks like that it's going to shut off ownership of many of the handguns that people have off defense. And now you're talking about women who are going to be more vulnerable. Talk about people who don't have the ability to protect themselves. They're in faraway places. The cops sometimes take 30 minutes to an hour to get some of these remote locations. You're going to put these people at risk when you start taking away guns from people. And so it's a major battle that is brewing. I think that the backlash at the voting booth is going to be felt.
Do you think that bill really has a chance to get through a Republican-controlled Congress?
Well, it doesn't matter if it does or not. What it gives us is a strong opinion about how the Democrats would run if they had both houses and the presidency. They would gladly pass this. And so that's the thing, the key takeaway, not whether or not it's going to pass, but that it gives a real clear map of where Democrats want to take the country. And again, folks, if you're going to change the outcome, you're going to have to vote Republican just to send a message to the Democrats that they can't take your vote for granted if you're a registered Democrat.
They used to have laws. I remember even in California when I lived there, there was a law that said if you used a gun to commit a crime, you automatically went to jail. I don't think they're enforcing that anymore.
Obviously, they're not enforcing it. And if you ever have to go to jail, then they're going to let you out really quickly. You remember when the governor was going into the prisons and letting criminals out that had not even come close to serving their time. That, again, is a national push by Democrats. They're saying that it's unfair for people to have to be accountable and responsible for their actions, that they ought to just look the other way. It's basically the same value set that controls what the Democrats are saying about Hamas, that Hamas should have a free pass to kill as many Israelis as they want. Meanwhile, they, as Democrats in the government, are calling on Israel to stand down, to stop killing innocent civilians, but they've not made one mention to Hamas that they should do the same thing. And so that tells you a lot about the Democrat viewpoint, about the Democrat value system among elected Democrats in Washington and Santa Fe, that they would just be that blatant about their hypocrisy.
And again, I do want to mention, we're talking about the Democrats who are in office representing us, not the average Democrat who might be listening to this show. Many of them agree with us, and that's becoming more and more that they're not happy with the leadership that they have in our government at this time either.
Yeah, and so when polls are recently run, Trump is moving further ahead of Biden all the time. That's because Black and Hispanic voters are beginning to shift away from Biden and from Democrats in general. And so you have this cataclysmic shift that's taking place, and it's causing great alarm in the Democrat Party because they always trust that the Black vote will be solid for Democrats, like 90% for Democrats. They trust that Hispanic voters will vote the majority for Democrats, and that's not holding so true anymore. There have been recent elections where places that have never elected a Republican at all, where the Hispanic voters have soundly voted for Republicans and put them into office, both in Congress and in local positions. And so these efforts are continuing, and people are waking up and saying, I don't believe I agree with the progressive elected Democrats.
President Biden and our Democrat leaders are saying that the economy is in good shape. Everything's okay. Do you believe it? Are you experiencing it? We'll talk about that and more next on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico as I continue my conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pearson. Steve, President Biden has been saying that the economy is getting better and inflation is going away and everything's okay, and he wants business to stop gouging people.
Yeah, he tweeted out, I think it was last week, and a quote from him here is saying, let me be clear to any corporation that hasn't brought their prices back down, even as inflation has come down. It's time to stop the price gouge. Well, basically, all you have going on there is just the gaslighting. They're trying to change the focus from the inflation being caused by Biden's policies, printing money in order to make the government work. And they're trying to say that it's just corporations. Now, it was really, really instructive to read many of the comments that came up in that tweet. Justin Amash is someone that I served with and know very well. He responded to the president's tweet saying it's disturbing that the president of the United States think that disinflation is the same thing as deflation. Ted Cruz had a very strong post. A man who spent trillions of borrowed dollars creating massive inflation now tries to blame that inflation on big, bad corporations. He said this tweet should be taught in every economics 101 class in America. If there were a Nobel Prize for economic illiteracy, this would win it. And so Ted Cruz really weighed in on him. But some of the quotes from just regular people. One says, once again, I'm begging the intern to study economics. Somebody else says, don't raise your prices. Don't. Points finger. Don't. And then I think the one that captured my attention was the one that said, listen, Jack, just lower your prices is a hell of an economic strategy. And so people out there understand how funny it is and how ridiculous that the president's tweet was. And of course, they're not giving him full credit for having written the tweet. They probably wouldn't even understand the basic level to write that. And so somebody turned loose and obviously did not understand that right now the inflation by all measures is still 3.2%. Well, that means that inflation has not gone down to zero. goes to zero and less, then we're not going to get price decreases because inflation is still happening. And that's probably the thing that left the president's comment out on the limb further than anything else, that inflation is still occurring at 3.2%. Now, as one of the studies looked into past presidents and measuring inflation, Biden ranked very high. Inflation during his term has been around 5%. Meanwhile, Trump's was one of the lowest at 1.4%. The one who really won the prize for low inflation was George W. Bush at 0.0%. He was able to keep inflation down completely. And that's because we were able to build the economy under both those presidents. We built the economy, we lived within our means, and we didn't have to print money. And printing money is what causes the inflation. So when Joe Biden wanted to pump money into the states, he had to pass $1 trillion of appropriations to keep the states from going bankrupt. When he wanted to put money into the unions, again, he had to pass trillions more because the union pensions are way underfunded. And so you, the taxpayer, are pulling out the union pensions. And so just one issue after the other has caused the Biden administration to run these massive deficits, which means they have to print money to fill in the backspace. And that printing of money creates inflation. The problem is so bad that the term Bidenomics, the president has tried to get Democrats over in the House and the Senate to keep using that term. Again, it was an attempt to kind of spin the public opinion around to where his economic policies wouldn't hurt him so much in the polling data. Well, as it's turning out, House Democrats are ditching the term. They're not using Bidenomics at all. They've rejected the White House's months-long campaign to kind of shine up the concept and make people somehow believe that the prices they're paying are not real. Kind of the key take from that is that going into 2024, and then that election is currently underway, the campaigning is already getting pretty fierce for the elections next November. But Democrats are going into that election divided on how to communicate about the economy. And anytime you've got your major parties divided on how they're talking about issues, that's always a bad plan. And so I'm sure that they'll get it in hand, but not until Joe Biden admits that his Bidenomics have been the cause of the inflation. They have failed as a policy. And until he admits that, then other Democrats are not going to sacrifice their careers on that. There's a great article in Axios talking about this, so draw your attention to that, dated December the 3rd.
In trying to defend President Biden, somebody posted on the RPNM Facebook page that, okay, inflation is high in Europe, in, say, Germany. Is that Biden's fault? I would say, actually, yes, because as the United States goes, so goes the rest of the world.
Yeah, when I was in congressional office, we made a trip into Iraq, and then we came back through Landstuhl, Germany, to visit the wounded soldiers there. But our evening meal was with about 20 or 25 local corporate officials in Landstuhl, and they had gathered from all over the country to join with us. And that was the comment that they made, that when the U.S. sneezes, the rest of the world catches economic flu. And so, absolutely, the U.S. position is responsible for the problems across the rest of the world. Supply chains import and export from every country. And so when our prices go up, the Germans have to raise their prices because they buy things from us. Or maybe they have things in their supply chain that come from here. And so the prices go up simply because our prices are up. Another factor is that as the administration insists on more of the green energy policies that Europe seems to want to implement, then that's costing a heck of a lot more. But the U.S. is the driving force on all of the climate change initiatives which are taking place throughout Europe. And frankly, Germany is bleeding manufacturing jobs because they can't afford the power that's required when they shut off coal, natural gas, and oil and go simply to the so-called renewable energies, then the price skyrockets. And so some of the manufacturing facilities have had to raise prices because of that. And again, this is a major push by the United States to get everybody onto this whole climate agenda, everybody except China. They're allowing China to continue to build coal-fired power plants as if we can clean up the environment without China doing its fair share. So just a lot to pay attention to as the economic theme unfolds. Again, if you want something different, you need to vote for something different. Right now, Trump is well ahead of Biden on trust about the economy. And he's polling among young people higher than Biden because they understand that their future is at stake because inflation eats away the future. It has damage today, but it totally has long-term effects on wealth that's passed from one generation to another for companies that maybe are locally held and a small corporation that's just family members. And so younger generations are beginning to bail out from the Democrats just as fast as other voters. And so I think that the inflation is affecting Democrats more than any single issue other than crime, bad education, and bad health care. Vote Republican, and it'll begin to change. Number one, Democrats begin to change. But number two, Republicans govern differently because they understand business principles and what causes jobs to be created, what causes jobs to leave. They understand overregulation. They understand that the taxes that you lay on corporations eventually get passed right on to consumers. And so those are basic things that the progressive Democrats refuse to acknowledge and don't understand either. And so we have major highlight of the differences between Republicans and Democrats developing on so many issues right now. That's the reason the polls in all the swing states are showing that Republicans are running ahead.
Thank you, Steve. And folks, if you've been listening to the program and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, there are several ways to do that. Check out the website at newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and an X account. The handle is at newmexico.gop. If you would like to speak to someone in person, you may call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. I want to thank all the radio stations around the state that carry the program. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill, and we look forward to meeting with you again at this time next week on Inside New Mexico.